I'm Robin. I'm the lead pastor. Welcome to Eastlake. Welcome if you're watching online. We designed Eastlake Church so everyone could be here because everyone faces something in their life that they'll only get if a miracle happens. This week I've been praying for a new friend who is fighting bone cancer. And 53 years old, retired from the highway patrol, recently married the love of his life, and now he's in the fight of his life. And the only way he's going to beat cancer is if he gets a miracle. Last year, I worked through a really difficult time with a family, some parents and their teenagers. A lot of tension in the home, they having a difficult time talking, and it got so bad that the teenagers ran away. And there was a time when the parents realized the only way this is going to get any better is a miracle is going to happen. Which the good news for them is it did. I sat with a man recently whose wife told him, "I don't love you anymore. I don't want to be married to you anymore." And now he needs a miracle to happen. And it's not just the big stuff. When I was in college, I'd get behind in my studies. And so I'd get behind. I'm going to do it tomorrow. And instead, I'd go play basketball. I'd get behind in my studies. And then the day of the test would arrive. And they'd pass out that test, and I would just look at the very top sheet of the test, and under my breath, I'd say, "Jesus, I need a miracle to happen." Is it even okay to ask for miracles? Are we supposed to believe miracles can happen? And do miracles just happen, or does someone make miracles happen? Today, we're going to read a story about a man in the Bible who really, really needs a miracle, and he believes that if he asks Jesus, Jesus can be the someone to make a miracle happen. So if you need a miracle, you came to the right church on the right day. Look at the big idea in your notes. You can ask Jesus for a miracle. Let's read a little bit of the Bible to give it credibility. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the road. The person telling the story mentions the name of his father because our family relationships go so deep in us. And sometimes when we need a miracle, our family is the first place that we turn. And yet the problem is families can't do miracles. They can't make a miracle happen. It can be supportive. But Bartimaeus, he's in a tight spot because he doesn't even have family support. In this day, in this society, there weren't programs for people that were disabled or special needs. Your family supported you. If you were blind, your family supported you or you begged. And Bartimaeus is begging. So, somehow he doesn't have family support. He doesn't have family. Or maybe he lost the support of his family. And maybe you know what that is like. Your family didn't want you to do something, or they wanted you to do something, you didn't do it, so they pull back their support. Families get really unhealthy when the support comes and goes based on my willingness to conform to the family. The father says to the daughter, "You marry that guy, don't you ever bring him around here." Or the older brother says to the younger brother, "Well, you decided to be the big brainiac and quit college, deal with your lousy job." Or mom says to the daughter, "I never raised the kids like that. So don't bring them over here." Maybe you know what it's like to lose the support of your family. Families get very unhealthy when the support is pulled back because I can't conform to what the family wants me to do. And Bartimaeus, you know, we don't know what happened. We just know he doesn't have the support of his family. And listen, even if his family was supportive, they can't pull off the miracle that he needs to see happen. And families never can. They can support you, but they can't make a miracle happen. And Bartimaeus, he's alone, and he's blind, and he's broke. But the good news, he's directly in the path of Jesus. He thinks Jesus is going to come close enough that he can ask for a miracle. He's in the direct path of the Lord. And do you know everyone is in the direct path of Jesus? Jesus has a direct path to your life. And you're close enough to ask for a miracle. We'll see how Bartimaeus does it. Look in your notes. Number one, we ask because of mercy. Bartimaeus, when he had heard it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." There's the family again. Many scolded him to get him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." He kept shouting. He's like a little kid that wants a popsicle. "No, you can't have a popsicle." They keep shouting for a popsicle. And in this society, if you were blind, you were sort of in the bad category. In fact, you were in the bad category. They actually believed that blindness was a result of something that you had done wrong. So there was a sin or mistake you made, and now the consequence is you're blind. You're in the bad category. And can you imagine how difficult it is to ask God for a miracle in the exact area that I feel like I'm in because it's my fault? Bartimaeus probably believes it's his fault that he's blind. Isn't that difficult to ask God for a miracle when you know it's your fault in the first place? You ask God for a miracle to get yourself out of debt, but you're thinking, well, it's my fault I got in debt in the first place. You ask God to fix a relationship and you know the relationship is broken because of you. How does a prisoner pray for mercy when they know they did the crime? The most difficult time to ask Jesus for a miracle is when you survey your circumstances and you say, the reason I have these circumstances is because something that I have done. Bartimaeus, he doesn't believe that God owes him a miracle. He knows his only chance is mercy. So some people, they think God will give them a miracle if they do a lot of good stuff. And the problem with that is, like, how much good stuff do I have to do to get God to give me a miracle? How good is good enough for God to give me a miracle? You say to yourself, well, if I'm really, really good, maybe God will give me a miracle. Well, I'll never ask for a miracle because I never feel good enough. And then on those occasions that I feel halfway good enough, then I get all confused because I'm like, well, I feel good enough, but I'm not so sure God thinks I'm good enough. And so it's just like, whatever. And Bartimaeus has a completely different way of understanding miracles. Bartimaeus believes that miracles happen because of God's mercy, not my goodness. Miracles are found in the heart of God, not my heart. And you know, when you need a miracle and it's based on God's mercy, here's the thing, then it has nothing to do with how deserving I am. And the crowd, they don't get any of that. This crowd, they start scolding Bartimaeus. Be quiet. You're the blind guy. You haven't done any work for God. Everybody knows you're not good enough. When is the last time something good was about ready to happen for you, and there's somebody in your life that are like, you can't, that's not going to happen for you. You're not good enough for anything good to happen for you. Only good people get good things from God, and you're not good enough for that. You're the blind guy. And they start to scold him. Do you have anybody in your life that scolds you? And they scold you because they think you're not good enough. And even when something good starts to happen, they have to rain on your parade. Nothing good's going to happen for you because you're not good enough for anything good to happen to. And you think, where did they learn to treat people this way? The ones in the crowd, where did they learn this? In the state of Israel, there was one major religion. And this one major religion, they scolded people all the time. And sometimes religion is like that. You scold people when they do something wrong, and then you scold people so they won't do something wrong. And they just constant scolding, scolding, scolding. When is the last time you ever said to yourself, all of a sudden you thought, whoa, I sound just like my mom. And I hated when she did that to me. You know what? My dad used to do that to me, and I didn't like it when he did it to me. Sometimes you have to unlearn something before you can relearn something. They scolded me, so now I scold. They put a guilt trip on me all the time, and now I put guilt trips on others. They threatened me, and now I make threats. Here's a touchy question. What's happening in your life and you're treating someone wrong? And the reason for it is because someone treated you wrong. And you're going to have to undo that. Because the crowd is just treating Bartimaeus like they have been treated. And Jesus knows all about that. He's like all into that. And so he sees it and he wants to break that because he sees the crowd. These are people that are hanging around him. And he's like, we didn't come to scold people. We came to help people find God. And so he does a great thing. He says to the crowd, call him. Notice in the story, Jesus doesn't call Bartimaeus. He tells the crowd to call Bartimaeus. You scolded him, now invite him. It's like an object lesson. That's how much Jesus cares about our heart. And we can be doing completely the opposite of what he wants. And he doesn't storm off and say, will they ever get it? He's like, oh, I know it'll help them. I'll let them do exactly what they're unable to do. Now listen, there's some things you want to see happen in your life, and Jesus is going to let you do them before you can even do them. You call him. Call Bartimaeus over here. We're going to show him mercy. And maybe you've come today and there's something going on in your life and you never ask God for a miracle because you feel like it's your fault anyways. How do I ask God to change that when the reason I'm in this mess is because something I did? You can still ask God for a miracle if it's based on mercy, because mercy means it has nothing to do with how deserving I am. Miracles are found in the heart of God, not yours or mine. And Bartimaeus, the second thing in your notes, it's interesting. Look at number two in your notes, turn it over. We hope before it happens. We hope before it happens. And with Bartimaeus, let me read something to you. So they called the blind man and said to him, have courage, get up, he's calling you. Now check that out. Isn't it maddening when someone treats you like they're a total jerk and then they get corrected and now they want to be all buddy-buddy and friends? Bartimaeus, well, you rock. We like you. Come on over. This is your lucky day. And of course, they tell him like the wrong thing. You have to have courage to come to God. They couldn't be more wrong. You don't have to have courage to come to God. Listen, when I need a miracle most is when I'm discouraged. How does it work for you when you're really discouraged and someone comes up and says, you know what? You can go to God anytime, but have courage. You got to have courage first. Oh, I see. There's something I have to do first, which is impossible. And Bartimaeus, he just sort of blows him off. Yeah. Because he's hoping. And hope is always more powerful than courage anyways. And he starts to do a really crazy thing. I mean, it's almost like he starts to act like he gets the miracle before it happens. Look what he does here. A blind man now, he throws off his coat and he jumps up and he like runs into the crowd to see Jesus. Listen, blind men don't jump. And they don't go running into a crowd to try to find somebody. But Bartimaeus does. It's like he's hoping before it even happens. And did you catch this little part of the story, the interesting little side note? It says he throws off his coat. Now, what if we were all in the crowd and we see the blind man stand up and his coat goes flying off and you're like, well, the warm-up jacket's off, and you're probably thinking to yourself, what the heck is it with the coat? Why is he throwing his coat off? What does the coat have to do with anything? Unless Bartimaeus, he knows somehow that coat is going to hinder him from being able to approach Jesus. I don't know. Maybe someone gave him the coat and reminds him of the time of his life, or you know how coats are, they keep you warm. You think you need them. I have to have my coat. Whatever it was, Bartimaeus, like the coat comes off and then he jumps up and approaches. Listen, what's hindering you from approaching Jesus for a miracle? You're wearing some coat and you haven't thrown it off. You know the miracle that you want. Today, could you be honest enough to admit there's something hindering you? Don't pretend anymore. You wear it every single day, and you want to jump, and you want to approach Jesus, but you have that coat on. Could you be honest today to admit it? I watched a movie recently with Denzel Washington. It was called Flight. And Denzel plays this character, this alcoholic, and And by the way, at Eastlake Church, we believe it's okay to drink, and I drink. And so if you see me in a pub someday, don't go, "Oh, drinking, Pastor," because I drink. But I don't go over the line. I don't get drunk. That's not okay. They don't impair your judgment. I don't do that, but I do drink. But alcoholism is like this movie's about an alcoholic, and they do this fantastic job because Denzel's character is completely overwhelmed with alcohol. All his decisions influenced by alcohol. Alcoholism, I mean, he's an alcoholic. And as I'm watching the movie, because I come from a background of living with alcoholics, I'm thinking, man, this is amazing, the job they're doing in portraying an alcoholic. Until one scene in the movie, I saw that, and I thought, they got that wrong. One scene in the movie, Denzel is getting it from every place in his life. You drink too much, you got to change. And there's this one lady he kind of likes and likes him. She's like, "You drink too much, you got to change." And finally, this character, Denzel Washington, says, "I choose to drink. I know I lost my family. I know I lost my wife, and I choose to drink. I choose to drink." And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, alcoholics don't talk like that. They're never that honest. Could you be honest today? What coat are you wearing? And you've never thrown it off. You know the miracle that you need to see happen. And you believe Jesus is the someone, but that dang coat. You might think to yourself, "Robin, I jump all the time. I'm a constant jumper. I'm always jumping to try to change my life." And then you make your jump, and you jump into another relationship, and it doesn't work. And you jump into another job, and it doesn't work. And you jump into another vacation to Vegas, and it really doesn't work. And you're just like, "Well, now Wendover, I don't have as much money, so now I'll jump into Wendover." And it's like, and it doesn't work. And you jump, and it doesn't work. And it's the same old life that you hate, because every time you jump, you're like, "How did I get here again?" The coat. You're jumping into the exact same location. If you do what you've always done, wear the coat, you'll get what you've always got. Can you be honest enough to admit the problem really is the coat? What hinders you from approaching Jesus? So the crowd, the coat flies off, and Bartimaeus is like, "Whoa, there he is." And he's like, "How does he know it?" And he's like, "I think I hear him." And he right into the crowd he goes. And when Jesus sees, he comes right to Jesus, and Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And if I'm in the crowd, I'm like, "I don't think it's a huge assumption, Lord, to think he wants his eyesight. He's a blind guy." Of course, I made that mistake one time. I had a friend that was blind. We worked together, and she was blind and a Christ follower. And I asked her one time when I got to know her pretty well, I said, "Kathy, do you ever get disappointed in God because he won't do a miracle and give you your eyesight back?" And she said, "That's not the number one miracle that I want." And I'm like, what? She said, "No, my number one miracle is that my father would turn to Jesus." And I was like, I am so shallow. If Jesus were to say to her, or if Jesus were to say to you, "What do you want me to do for you?" It's almost like you ask him for a miracle and he asks you, "Are you sure?" Now Bartimaeus, he says, "I'm dead sure, Lord. I want my eyesight." Here's what he said. "I want to see again." And catch that now. Bartimaeus used to be able to see, and now he's lost that. "I want to see again." Is there anything you'd like to have again, but the only way you're going to get it is a miracle? "I'm divorced and I'd like to have a wife again, but it'll take a miracle for me to believe I could be a great husband. I've lost my relationship with my children. Now we just yell at each other, and I wish it was like it used to be. I want a relationship like I used to have again. I screwed up and didn't turn up on time at work, and I was late all the time, and I was disrespectful for my boss, and I got fired, but I'd like another good job again." Isn't it hard to ask Jesus for something when you used to have it, and now you don't have it, and you lost it, and you're like, "Lord, I'd like it. Could I have it again?" Remember now, miracles are found in God's heart, not yours. Do you know what fills my heart? All the mistakes I've made, all the things I've lost, all the failures, if I could just get a do-over, but I don't do miracles. Maybe I'll ask my family, they don't do miracles either. And then you go to Jesus like Bartimaeus. He says, Lord, I want to see again. What miracle do you need to see happen in your life if it's going to ever happen again? And it is a choice to ask Jesus. Bartimaeus believes that miracles don't happen because of my goodness. They happen because of God's mercy. What did you used to have and it's gone now? And the only way you're going to get it again is to ask for a miracle. And that's the bottom line. If you look in your note, it's a choice to believe for a miracle. Jesus said to him, go, your faith has healed you. Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the road. Bartimaeus can ask Jesus for a miracle. He's the someone. He immediately gets his sight and follows him along the road. Oftentimes when Jesus will do a miracle for me, it seems like his face is the first face I see. Bartimaeus' eyes open up and there's Jesus. And it may seem like the choices are over, but the choice isn't over then. The choice is over, am I going to follow the miracle worker? Some of you come to East Lake all the time and you feel awesome and you leave and you go, boy, those guys are great singers and I wish I dressed like they did and it's so cool. And even sometimes he says crap on stage and drinks a rock star. Yay, church. But here's the thing, churches don't do miracles either. Jesus does miracles. He wants to be with you tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday night when you're crying and Thursday when you feel like you rock on. And that Jesus, see, when he opened his eyes, it says he followed him along the road. The same road that he was sitting at before, now he's following Jesus along that road. Some of you, it's time to make a commitment to Jesus Christ. It just is. It's like you're looking at him and he's looking at you, and it's time to say, Jesus, I'm following you now. I'm going with you. I'm going to follow you again. And there were some other people. The whole time I was talking about the coat, you know exactly what coat it is. And every time you jump with the coat, and it all happens again. And it's breaking your heart. God wants something better for you. So grab your connection cards, if you would, and look on the back of them. Just grab your connection card, and we always do a next step here. And really, very, very simple this week, I'm making a choice to believe. You can check that box. I'm committing my life to Jesus for the first time. I'm recommitting my life to Jesus. I mean, here's all I'm asking today is like some very, very simple things. In the context of mercy, which means you'll never deserve a miracle and you don't have to. Miracles are found in the heart of God, not your heart. That's good news. And if you're in here today and you thought it all depends on my goodness or I haven't been good enough or I'll be good someday or maybe I shouldn't think about that miracle because I'll never be good enough, could you just pause that for a moment and hear this? Mercy means it never depends on how deserving you are. Mercy means that miracles never happen because of how deserving you are. They can always happen because they're found in the heart of God. And then for those that, you know, you could just feel that coat around you as I was talking. You know exactly what it is. The first step is just be honest with yourself. Yep, I wear that every day. And I pray to Jesus that he'd give you the strength to throw it off. Because once that coat is off, you'll be able to jump towards him. And you know what's really true? Immediately, the miracle that you've been looking for will happen. And here's what it is. It may not be your eyesight, but this is what it is. You'll be able to follow him along the road.